What's going on? We're here with another episode of the Halfcast Podcast with our fresh new co-host, Big Kai. Yep. And I told you we'd be bringing in a special guest, Blackamoto. No. We got Big. Big is in the house. Thank you so much. I know you're a busy man, bro. Blessing us with your presence.
Thank you for having me.
Fresh 34 years old, brother.
Yeah. Same, honestly.
Really?
Like, it's funny, like, when you know, when we're kids, you look at people in our position, like 30-year-olds and stuff, you're like, they're adults.
Mm.
They know what's
up. They've got their shit together.
They've gone, they figured this shit out. Now I'm here, I'm like, who the fuck let me out there?
Nah.
not just surviving, we're thriving. We're blessed to be in the position we're in, but, like, sometimes I'm just like, how? How do we, like, how are we adulting? Like, we have cars, families, you know, houses, all that. I'm like, how are we, but we're doing it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm still 18, bro.
Yeah, hey, man. I range from 45 to, like, 13 sometimes, depending on the day. That's how I, like, I behave. You know, sometimes I'll be real, like, adulty, and sometimes it's, you see me at the gym, it's like.
What do you reckon biggest improvement since 33?
Ooh, that's a good question. Okay, biggest improvement. To be honest, taking it day by day, living in the moment.
Mm.
Yeah, because everything, life right now has just been lifing in a good way. I've just been, like, climbing. And old Izzy, it's been good. But, like, old Izzy would be like, oh, things are so good right now, you know. Okay, when is a bad thing going to happen?
Mm.
Start looking for it.
Yeah.
But as I've gotten older now and I'm where I'm at, more mature, I just like, bad shit's always going to happen. Something bad's always going to happen. So it's like, while it's good, just enjoy the good and don't look for the bad, because then it's going to ruin right now. So I think for me, that's the biggest improvement. And I still have to learn it day by day, but yeah, I just try and enjoy the moment and take it day by, even moment to moment sometimes, but enjoy it right now, because when the bad shit come, it'll be there and you will deal with it. But right now, while it's good, let's get it.
Did you think when you're always searching for that bad moment that it would come quicker than, like, you know, almost manifesting it?
Yeah. Manifest it. You bring it to you because you're thinking about it. So you're vibrating on that shit, and it's just like, that you're attracting. And then when it happens, you're like, I knew it was coming. But it's like, because you fucking put it on yourself. Even it could be something stupid that, you know, science would say, doesn't happen that way, but I really believe if you think about it, I do this shit all the time. So if I think about it, I fixate on it, then you bring it, you call it to you, and then when it comes, it's like it's like a self fulfilling prophecy, you know. So it's not, it's bullshit, but that's life.
Where do you think you got that manifesting from? Like, outside of looking in, I noticed your parents are very positive people. Your family's very positive.
Very religious.
Where do you think you picked up the manifesting?
Manifesting things or making things happen. Funny enough, my mom, I don't know if as a kid she called me this. She called me a prophet, like, as a young man or a kid. Like, some people, I think we all have it. We all have the power of the tongue. We can speak things into existence. But, like, I don't know, maybe cartoons, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, I think maybe cartoons, just, like, really thinking, like, video games. I don't know. I just experience as well. I think just trial and error experience, doing it over and over and over again and seeing it works. Like, example, writing shit down. There's certain steps I can do now where I know if I really want to get this done, I know how to get it done. Because even me, when I have to write down a form, you know, at the airport or for a visa or whatever, when you start filling it out, my hand starts to cramp. But when I was a kid, you have a fucking whole board you have to write, and then the teacher wipes it down, and you're, can I copy your notes, please, later on after school? But now it's like this. We've lost the skill because we're all doing this and this now. So, like, writing something, when you write something down, it's powerful.
Mm.
It's really powerful. There's magic in the pen. There's power in the pen. So when writing shit down really helps. And, yeah, just, again, trial and error. I've tried this shit over and over and over again.
I remember for your last fight, you put something on your mirror.
Mm.
Bathroom mirror.
Yeah. So it's one night I was microdosing. Actually, no, I did it like a little heavy dose of psilocybin.
Not the mega.
And I was not. Then I had a shower, and I was, you know, when you're in the shower, again, it's the most honest place in the world. You're naked in your birthday suit. The element of water is cleansing you, and it's a white space. So I feel like I can really, like Neo in that white space, I can make shit happen. Mm. And I just went deep, man. I was in the fight. I was in the post-fight press conference, pre-fight, weigh-ins, all that. And I came out the shower and I was just like, I just wrote it down. April 23rd, 2023. April 8th, 2023. The greatest comeback in sporting history. It is written by me. And I remember just manifesting it, like just, and every day I looked in the mirror, you see it. I saw it every day, and I just like, it just came to me, and I was like, right, make this happen. And then, fuck, it almost didn't happen, man. Yeah, it almost didn't happen because, you know, fucking shit happened before the fight. We all get injured, but like, man, when it happened, I was just like, fuck, thank God.
Yeah. I remember messaging you straight after, and you were like, if you can't change the situation, change your perspective. And I was like, that one, I was like, fuck, that's gangster. Yeah. But I'm glad we rolled in straight into Miami. But I saw like you seemed like a different person in that that fight camp. Like even compared to now, this fight camp. Yeah. That last one, that like, I don't know if you're on demon time.
I was.
Or there was some black Air Force energy in there.
Actual. No, like, I just knew, I was like, because you can't let a motherfucker beat you four times. I across two different sports. I was like, nah, I'll be damned if that happens. So I just knew I had to tap into that different zone. And then when shit happened, I remember I texted you that. I was like, nah, it's all good. Because he saw me the day it happened. And he said when he was leaving the house, because he's freaking out, even he was upset at home. Like, you know, his friend had to console him and stuff. But like, he saw me when we was leaving. He said my hoodie was up and I'm like in pain on the couch, and he's like, later, and I just go, and he just saw like I was just locked in, because I just remember I was like, nah, I'm not fucking pulling out no matter what. It's 2 weeks out, I ain't no bitch. And yeah, I had to go to that place, and it's good for me because now I've overcome that. It's almost like the Gastelum fight again, because that one I had to tap into another part of me, that fifth round, and get to that place. This fight, this camp, oh, this last fight, I had to get into that place before the fight. And then when I got it done, it's like, fuck, I can do anything. Even I told Volk after his Islam fight, it inspired me in Perth. I was just like, bro, this guy, I can do anything. Because I see the way he handled Islam, the guy that, there's the short guy, you know, talking all this shit. And then the guy, the boogeyman of the division, you know, his wrestling, fucking everyone up. And then fucking Volk handled him. So I saw that, I was just like, bro, I can do anything. Like, literally, I take inspiration. Even you know, your fight with Moreno, I saw your camp leading up to that. And I just took inspiration from that. And I was just like, fuck yeah. I can do anything. Like, Kai locked himself in. So I take inspiration from everyone.
It's one of the things that's so cool about CKB, bro, because I feel like you grab a new piece of yourself every camp. Like, there's like, you're creating this new alter ego or this new person or new identity, and you're just like, you're just always growing as a person. Feel like 100%. Always come home different. It's also hard with your, like, coming back to your family. And you're going like, the fuck is this guy? Like,
who the fuck are you?
But no, when you, it's always good when a camp doesn't all go smoothly, because it like sets you up, but like those are like triggers, but then it like lets you elevate to that next level that you need to. It's like an injury. Oh, I remember Sons was talking about, it's like when you're pushing to be your best, injuries are going to happen. You just have to prepare for it and work around it. So
we're different.
If you're not getting it, it's not to say if you're not getting injured, you're not training hard enough.
Facts.
It just happens because you're going for it.
You have to push to that next level. Everyone, if you're a great fighter, you come into a fight with something. There's always something. Even now, it's something. But guess what? I ain't no bitch. I'm not pulling out. I'm not fucking putting it out there for the universe or for the world to see and be like, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. It's like, nah, we're built different. I think our fighting culture from this side of the world, it's different to the rest of the world, because their culture is, most of them, they'll train for a fight. Once they fight, they then, because they fuck off or go do their own thing. But here, even though I have to travel sometimes because of work, I still, whenever I'm home, I always try and like tap in and help everyone with their camp. So I even just show up, you know, just to be amongst
them. I love that what you always do is like, if there's a local fight or one of the boys are on the card, just being there, because you know what it was like when we were first like coming up being an amateur, or you know, and you'd see the more experienced guys be at your fights, you're like, man, I got to put on a show now, he's here.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's always nice when you
and can sometimes get that back. It annoys me though, because sometimes I see it though, these motherfuckers, they hate though, these fucking, the crowd and the judges sometimes, nah, they fucking haters, bro, locally. And it's so stupid because we're CKB, and sometimes even I'm very wary putting myself out there in the local fights. I still do, because I'm like, fuck you, I'm not gonna not support my boys because you're a hater. Because I know when they see like, oh, Izzy's backing them, like, oh, I wouldn't say names, but example, some of the young boys, I went to one of their fights recently, and then like I couldn't help myself, but I just put myself there. And I was just like, no, I got to support my boy. Mm. And I found myself in the corner. I was like, no, I'm not going to hide just because I don't want people to be like, because I could see the crowd whenever the other guy did something, hey, and he did something. It's like, oh, because CKB fighter, you know? And then you get the buy, like example, Mark Timms, his last fight. It's like, what the fuck, bro? He won round. Shout out to Viper, but still, he won 2 and 3, I thought. And again, it's not the first time it's happened. We've seen it happen. And it starts to get annoying, but it's like, oh, just, are we a victim of our own success? Because we're the best gym 100%. In the world. Then they want to, it's like, nah, just give us a fair shake. Mark's a professional, goes in and does his job. Fucking be a professional as well and score the fight objectively.
Yeah.
Don't just because it's your boy or it's a hometown thing. You just, and again, it's just, yeah, it's annoying. But I think it's we're victims of our own, not victims, but like we're suffering from success. Yeah. Put it that way.
I don't.
I think a lot, like especially last night having to write about the podcast, and I was just thinking about Miami, especially how, because I forget, like just being boys and stuff, but you just forget how big your stardom is. And that was like
good,
yeah, like but like, well, like things like not just being able to go out normally, like 200 people bang straight on you. People trying to follow us back to the house, from the, like, just weird shit. But did you end up meeting? There was a, one of my favorite things was a kid was out the front of the bus holding up a Frozen like Elsa.
Wherever you are, that guy that ripped that sign up, I need you to get in contact with Engage. Wherever you are, the guy that grabbed the sign and ripped it, because you did me a solid and you really you gave me good energy. Because it's so annoying to see an idiot. Like, I'm right there. The bus door can open any moment. I can get to you.
Yeah.
You know? And the like, sometimes
he was, like, knuckling his friend, thinking it was the coolest thing ever. He had a sign.
Nah, but I saw him, trust me, at the press conference, I saw him, and I just kind of ignored it, because he was there with the sign. I was like, huh, funny. But again, I love that line, because it ended up being true. Nigga was in the blue, frozen, and I just put it in his chest, and I left him frozen like Elsa. So again, it's one of those things that, life imitates art, or art imitates life. Like, they were just, oh, what kind of line is that? So stupid. And I was like, I'm going to leave the nigga frozen like Elsa. And what did I do? Left him frozen like Elsa. But yeah, I'm glad that kid grabbed the sign and ripped it off and just told the guy to fuck off. Because, yeah, these people get real brave sometimes. And they forget that this is not the internet. This is real life.
Yeah.
Allegedly, you can get slapped. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
A little sparring match.
Open the door.
Sidewalk.
Open the bus door.
Nah, Ike and them was there, because, like, fuck. Again, I can get to them. Yeah. But I just, look, I'm not, I'm glad one thing I've learned is don't react, respond. So I never react. I used to back in the day, but, like, I never react off my emotions. Now I respond. So things don't get to me. People think, they say shit, and they think it gets to me. I'm like, nah. Like, I've heard, bro, Eugene. Fuck, people think, like, oh, they're talking all this shit, and I'm like, they think that gets it. Even some of my opponents, like Strickland's talking all this shit, and I'm like, bro, you think you get into me? The shit I have to deal with every fucking day from that motherfucker. Like, every, you, exactly, your life.
This morning we just saw the burpees, but he was getting yelled at.
Yeah, so I was getting myself warmed up, and I came late, and literally maybe a minute late. And I was putting my pads on. I was like, fuck, you're sorry. Everyone burpees now.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. And then we kept on doing burpees. And then he goes stopping. To Brando. Oh, so wait, what happened with Brando? Brando.
He kept stopping. So then we had to keep doing the burpees. Yeah,
because he mentioned Brando. I was just like, what did Brando do? I thought it was about me, but I was like, I'm glad that he's
Brando
not on me anymore.
Brando was already tired before sparring.
Maybe that's why he beat me up. He's like, fuck this cunt. Put it on me.
Yeah, I got clipped a couple of times today.
Yeah.
Nate, he's got solid strike.
Yeah,
isn't he going to Queen?
He leaves today.
So I went to his leaving thing yesterday, and I kind of said something to kind of like see him off. I said, like, pretty much what myself, Diamond, Davor, what we did in China at that time. I think I was the same age as him when I moved over there. He's doing now, and I think he's in good hands with Ben Johnston. Yeah, I think he's doing the right thing for him right now, going over there, getting the experience he needs to get, then he's going to come back and be better than ever, you know? I think at this age, you just know. And he even said, like, he texted me, it's a week, in a week, it's going to be 2 years since he quit his job. Yeah, in August, I think August 5th, he quit his job and decided to pursue this full time, so... I know the struggle. We've all been there. So it's that point where you got to make that jump. And he made that jump. And now it's the next step. So, yeah, proud of him. And I'll miss him this camp because I'd like to have him around this camp. He's a good, solid southpaw.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stock. Yeah. Good stock, yeah.
I told him the same thing this morning. It's like the martial arts journey where when you travel and you go do it on your own, that's what it's like. That's where you find yourself, like those hard times and stuff. So.
Oh, yeah. By yourself. China's different, though. It's fucking China. First month, I had no VPN. So I know, like, YouTube, no Facebook. All I had was WeChat, you know. So I was out there and... Yeah, it was hard, but then I had Diamond, which was cool.
Mm.
So I had my brother with me. Eventually, I got a VPN, and I was able to kind of like communicate properly with people back home and go on Facebook and all that kind of shit. But yeah, it builds you. That's the thing, it builds you. And what was it, 10 months? I had like 23, 24 fights.
All by yourself, just living there.
Yeah, most times. Right. Sometimes I go to a fight and I won't have a corner. Like, I'll just be like, right, I'll pick this guy, give me water. Okay, cool, sweet, boom. And then he'll be my water guy for the fight. Diamond had to do that a lot as well, but those kind of things, they build you. They build you into, like, character development, you know?
Especially for these young guys that, like, they think they like it. They think they want to be a fighter, but you got to go all in to experience that.
Yeah.
And then when you're all in, you're like, okay, this is what I want to do. I was like, no, that's not for me.
No money, beat up in front of everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bro, 100%. I remember the first time I went to Thailand when I was living there, like true martial arts style. I had a boxing pad as my pillow.
Oh, no
my
way.
My gi jacket as a blanket. I was crashing on the floor of Luke Jamo's room.
Yeah.
He used to be in the UFC.
Yeah.
Because I was waiting for my room to open up in a few days or something. Mm. So I was just sleeping on his floor and I was just like, this is the martial arts lifestyle.
Let's go.
Like, this is it. This is the dream. Like,
this is it. Let's,
like rough
at least
living.
A pillow, please. Yeah.
Like 18, like just full of like that young energy. It's like, well, like I'm blessed to be here, so I'm just gonna make the most of it.
Exactly. Now I remember my first one when I came to the CKB. My first it was a Saturday. It wasn't Spider at the time. We did Fight Gone Bad. I think that was the name of the circuit. Fight Gone Bad is an old one at the old gym. And I did 5 rounds kickboxing. And then right afterwards, I just walked out the gym. And you know where the stairs were that lead to the garage door? I just sat there. I just bawled my eyes out. And I was crying. I was just like, in my head, I just thought like, well, is this what you want to do? And straight away, like my subconscious just goes, yep. I'm like, bet. I was like, okay.
I'm fine.
And I just kind of picked myself up and went back in the gym. And I was like, yeah, good shit. Thanks. But fuck, I was just like, because I never had my lungs feel that before.
Mm.
Yeah. Never had my muscles feel that before where it's like, come on, let's go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 3, 2, 8. Over and over again. And my body, I was just kicking, trying my hardest. And I just remember just like my lungs were crying. My heart was pumping blood. My muscles were not cramping, but like just dead. And I just thought like, this is what you want to do? Yep. Okay, let's go then.
Fuck, if you haven't had some tears, bro. There's been some tears.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yours is different though because of the way you grow. Because even I was watching the Warriors game. We're watching the other day.
Mm.
And some of the boys from Sydney, I think someone told me that
because
you knew them.
Yeah,
they said like you couldn't come out and play until you did your martial arts work.
Mm.
Yeah, so it'd be like, can Tyson come out and play? Fuck off.
And then when we get home from school, like Dad would have like tape around the bags and until we'd finished like a certain amount of kicks, we weren't allowed in the house to like eat and stuff. Yeah.
Well, that's different.
He was doing like mental torture since we were babies. But honestly, I think
that's why I would, because Nigerians, we have capital punishment. So teachers can like cane kids. They can punish kids at school.
Yeah.
And also we used to get caned and get punished. But like we had different punishments like Okada. That's like a motorcycle. You'd be on the wall and you just sit there and just like you'd be. And you'd be sitting there. I think that's why like pain tolerance is tough because I have to do that for an hour sometimes.
Yeah.
Sit on the wall and just like.
At school too, like
facts.
I was going for my purple belt, and the night before, Dad was like, "You might die tomorrow."
Damn!
So I had like a panic attack.
Oh yo!
And then we had to horse Son. Position. Same thing. We were in horse position.
Yeah.
And they have a stick, and they come past, and they'll be hitting everyone. It's light, and then he come back. Beat the shit out of me.
Just on your back, on your
arms,
legs,
butt, body, everything, damn. Legs. And then we had to fight in the water, and everyone had like, they were doing like nice fighting. I just remember my dad was just holding my head under. I was like, I got out, I walked out, I was crying. I was like, what the fuck are we ever going to fight in the water? I was like, some bullshit.
Always ready.
Yeah, if I ever get in a fight at the beach, I'm going outside.
Fuck. Yeah, I mean, like, that kind of stuff, it breeds different kind of people.
Mm.
Yeah, it breeds different kind of people. But, fuck, I don't know, man.
It's borderline, eh?
No, but like this, I know for a fact there's trauma that I have definitely taken from those experiences. And I know it's shaped me to who I am today. Then the work that I've done with therapy and all that kind of stuff has pulled my eyes to some of it. And I realize why I am the way I am with certain things. So once you identify it, then I'm able to stop it.
Mm.
Like, I mean, I've kind of mentioned this, but like, sometimes it still rears its ugly head, but people pleasing.
Yeah.
I used to do that real heavy. Like, I try and please everyone.
Mm.
But now I know my boundaries. I know how to tell people no without having to explain myself.
Yeah.
Especially fans. I just tell them, like, nah, I'm good. Thank you.
I mentioned this to my family the other day because I do the same thing, take photos with everyone, and not that we're anywhere near the same, but I noticed when we went to the movies that you were like, oh no, and I was like, fuck, it must be so much that
it's like feeding, you know, like seagulls at the beach, you feed one my because they don't realize, and sometimes they're stupid enough to think, oh, just one. I'm like, bro. And they think I'm an asshole, but I'm like, good, I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't want you as a fucking fan anyway.
Yeah.
But they think I'm an asshole, but I'm like, no, you think it's just one, but it's not just one, because there's fucking 3-5 people watching you right now. And if I take a photo with you, then I have to say no to them, and I'll be an asshole because I took a photo with you. So I'd rather just say no to you and save myself, because I've been there before. Mm. There was a point one time, one of my friends actually told me, he's like, bro, it's not even fun to hang out with you anymore.
Yeah.
It's literally, and I don't see this. They said there was a line of people just waiting to talk to me. So I finish talking to someone and I go, oh, hey, what's up? Boom. And then I don't get to hang out with my friends.
Yeah.
Even Christmas this year, one time, our brother Sammy, you know, shout out to my boy, but still, he said something that really like hurt my feelings, because you guys were going to the Red or something, right? And I was like, oh, I'm coming. He goes, oh. I'm like, oh. He's like, and then I kind of got what he meant, and I was like, oh. And it hurt my feelings. So I was just like, fuck. My family don't even want to hang out with me outside because they just know it's going to be...
It's going to be full on.
Yeah.
It's an event.
Even, you know, Klein, because, you know, David Tours is a dad.
Yeah.
He said same thing, you know. I can share this. Yeah, he said, like, pretty much it's just like it was going out when Tour was Tour man. Like, going out in the markets and all that. And he's so nice and so humble. He'll just... Yeah. Everyone. But again, at what point is it that you're taking away from your family time? So whenever I'm with friends and family, bro, when I have a kid, you better fuck off.
Yeah.
I will slap you. Like, I swear to God,
I don't
give a fuck. If you see me with a pram and you approach me with, oh, can I? Because sometimes I feel like they're about to pull a gun. I'm just like, no. Yeah. Right now I can put boundaries. But when I have a kid, I don't even want to see, like, there's a perimeter. I have this energy I can, like, a fuck off. Like, don't fucking come near me. That's why I go to City Fitness now, just because I like to practice being in public and, I guess, like, boundaries. Because I used to get social, like, even this t-shirt. It's my new t-shirt. I went to the gym at City Fitness now. There's one
that's Oh, we're showing shirts. Fuck.
Hey, those are.
Those juice. Always with me, brother. Always giving me that energy.
But that's like my way of, like, you know, I'm working. Like, bro, I'll just finish a set. I'm puffing at AB's right there. So I'm like, bro, fucking use your common sense. Yeah, like, yeah. I'm puffing, I'm working. Like, you know, these hot chicks with yoga pants, I know how they feel, bro. Like, straight. I know. Like, when I walk in a room, I'm the one they're looking at. So yeah. I can understand. I'm like, oh, I know. And I know, like, okay, if I wasn't who I am, if I was like a little hot chick or whatever, then it'd be different to like tell a guy to fuck off.
Mm.
Even at a bar, like, oh, I gotta buy the champ a shot. It's like, oh, I gotta buy you a shot. Oh, where's your boyfriend? You know, that kind of stuff. And it's like, they can't tell them to fuck off. But I literally say, hey, fuck off. They're like, oh, yeah, all good, bro. All good, bro. I'm just a big fan. But, so I empathize with females, put it that way. I'm not a feminist, but, you know, I get it. I got big tits, too. It'd be like that. David, can you give me some of these, please? Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Just rolling back with you being so locked into pop culture, bro. I noticed, well, obviously, you went over with Logan Paul and with Prime and stuff. How was that? Well, even wrestling. Was that a good time?
Yeah. Boy's strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely
strong.
It
looked like you're having to do some couple moves to keep
him.
He used to wrestle, though, back in the day.
Yeah, he used to wrestle. Like, even when I saw the rounds he did with Costa, I was like, okay, the guy can move.
Mm.
But, we're going light, but I could just feel it was strong, like farm strength. I was like, okay, bet, I got to turn up a little bit. But then, he knows how to move. He's very strong. He's very explosive. And he's coachable.
Mm.
I think he's coachable. which is, I guess, what gets them to where they are because they listen. But yeah, it was just funny watching him and Craig was different because Craig does the same thing with me. Just fucking pretzels me up and stuff. Like, yeah. You got him in a buggy truck. He's like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, just different, eh?
He's just like, huh?
Is that something that you might look towards, like wrestling afterwards? I know you love wrestling.
See, the thing is, now that the WWE and the UFC, they've merged, it's a $21.4 billion company.
Hey,
let's talk about it. But like for me, I always thought maybe I would, but I think I'll do like stints, like one, two, or maybe three, but not like a weekly thing. Because personally, I like to write my own story. I don't want a writer writing my story and making me the heel this month and then the good guy this month. I'd rather just write my own story. And yeah, I just feel like it take away from me. It'll be a disservice.
Thank you.
To myself. So if I let someone else write my story and dictate how I'm perceived. Yeah. I'm sure it'd be fucking dope, crazy money and whatnot. But even as a fan, I'd just like to go and watch the UFC. I think we'll go as a fan because that was Monday Night Raw, Sunday Night SmackDown. That was family time, you know? So, yeah, I think maybe one of these days we'll go to like a WrestleMania or something and watch that live. I think that would be a different experience. You ever been?
No.
You ever been?
No, never been.
Nah, I got it. We got
to
go.
Who's your favorite wrestler?
The Rock is the first thing that comes to mind, to be honest. The Rock, straight away. But there was Stone Cold at one point, John Cena, Hulk Hogan at one point, Hardy Boys.
Undertaker.
Undertaker, yes. Definitely. Oh, Dead Man Walking. Even the fucking Hot Rod era.
Kane.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Kane. Bro. Oh, I still remember when he took the mask off. Yeah. I saw that on YouTube the other day, and I was just like, fuck. I remember when I watched that live, and I was just like, no, he took the mask off. Fuck, I wanted to meet Rey Mysterio.
If someone, when you're going and you go, oh, no, you're fighting Rikishi today, imagine every day knowing that you're about to get ass faced.
About to get picked by AA.
In Vegas, I was trying to link up with Rey because Yasuo was in the crowd. I didn't see him live, but I knew he was in the crowd. I couldn't pinpoint him, though. But it would have been cool to meet Rey Mysterio, that guy.
He had his mask on.
He had his mask on as well. But nah, that's the dude. There's so many, man. So many. Trish Stratus, Stacey Keebler, Tori Wilson. Yeah.
Do you remember Scotty the Hottie?
Kerry.
Yeah.
Who else? Fuck. Lita was tight at one point. I mean, all of them, man. All the divas.
I remember growing up on that. Like, that was so big back in the day.
Yeah.
When like Kurt Angle, like it used to just hate him, but like he was such a good wrestler.
With a broken freaking neck. Yeah, that guy. He was a big heel at one point. Who the fuck, bro? Even that whole thing, I feel like plays into part of who I am now as an athlete, because I like, you know, The Rock. Watching him on the mic just roast people for like 5 minutes straight, and just it's like a stand up show, you know, playing with the crowd and all that kind of stuff. It seeps in. And then you take bits and pieces. You're inspired by those things. Bro, okay, look at this. Not every time, but whenever I touch the mic in the UFC.
Tell him. Talk to him.
Look.
Viral.
After my last fight, all I knew, like when I was in the shower, I remember just like visualize everything. When you visualize the way I do, you're in the shower, you can feel it. And I remember being in the shower, visualizing the wind. I slept this dude. And I remember just visualizing like, fuck. I feel so happy right now. And I was like, I just wish everyone could feel how happy I am right now. That's all I wanted to say. And the rest just came to me, the vessel. But again, I touched the mic. Oh, the most inspiring post-fight speech ever. Oh, he's the GOAT, man. This is, no one's ever made me feel so, I felt that happiness. Da, 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 da. Last time I touched the mic, yeah, nigga, the fuck, nigga, what you gonna do, nigga, bitch ass nigga. Well, I told him 2 weeks beforehand, I was like, this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna pray, and I prayed on it, I meditated on it, I fucking called that shit. No one gave him a chance to win. He did the work, he fucking put the work in, his coaches put the work in to get that win. But player one, bro, I feel like really I can make things happen. And bro, when it happened, he rocked Rob. I think it was me and Eugene were the only ones just like, because everyone else was sitting down. I straight away got up and I saw him. I was like, go
so you can come, bro, to me.
Yeah, I tried. And then once he and I told you when I was doing the breakdown with Dan, I said like when I visualize, I could feel myself turn. when I was saying it on the couch, I didn't really know what I meant. But as soon as he won, I just felt it. Boom, I switched. And I was just hunting him. I was tracking him with my eyes. And I knew. And I told Dana, hey, don't worry. I won't touch him, but I just want to let him know. And I got in there. And then I did what I did. It's strategic, man. People think it's fucking chess. This is fucking... I don't even know what this is, like something else. But so like...
What is the backstory between Drakus?
He started that. Like for me, I never questioned him as an African. He's an African. Yeah. I never questioned that at all. When the reporter asked him at the post-fight press conference, after he talked shit on the mic saying he wants to be the first real African champion, he doubled down. He could have been like, when they said, oh, you know, the era of the three African champions, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. He could have been like, yeah, that was an amazing time in combat sports history to have three African champions at the same time in a roster where there's fucking less than 20 African, fucking less than fucking 15, 10 African fighters out of hundreds of fighters. And it'd be cool to be awesome to be a champion in my own right and be, you know, the fourth African champion.
Yeah.
This nigga said, nah. Oh, have those belts ever been to Africa? Me, Kamaru, and Francis took those belts back home. We took gold back to Africa because we had to, no matter what. So the fact that he had to decide to divide, that pissed me off. And then I was just like, okay, and I told David when I was after the Pereira fight at mom and dad's house, I was breaking it down. I was like, bro, I'm going to torture this guy. And David could see I was getting real pissed off. It's on our YouTube, but like, I was getting real pissed off. And I was just like, this guy is causing divide. I never questioned him as an African. So what the fuck is this cracker to tell me that I'm not African? I was like, are you stupid? And again, look. Funny enough, someone brought it to my attention that I did the same thing to Rob, and I was just like, true, I did, because I called him a mozzie. And I was like, fuck, they're right. But guess what? I was wrong. That's called growth. I learned. I realized how is this a black guy telling this fucking Modi that nah, you're not a fucking true Kiwi because you live in Australia. That's stupid. So again, this is called growth. I could admit when I was wrong. I fucked up back then. But you learn. So I would never say that to Rob again, because who am I to try and take away his heritage? Yeah. That's fucking stupid. Yeah. I wasn't even born here, you know, but I claim to be from here because this is where my fighting heritage is from. Yeah. But for me to have to say that to Rob, that was very stupid and that was wrong. So I shouldn't have done that. But you learn. And now this motherfucker is trying to tell me who the fuck I am. And I never told him who the fuck he is. But guess what? I will show him who he is. And now he doesn't want to fight because even after he's like, oh, bro, all he had to do was put some gloves on. We could have got it on right there. Bitch ass. Fuck, you wouldn't have. Because guess what? He didn't want it. Even when I told him, film me, people were like, oh, he's so classy walking away. He's so classy. I'm like, bro, he didn't walk away. He felt me. He didn't want to film me. And I'm telling you, he's not a scared man. He's a tough dude. He's very crafty. And he's got a good team behind him, a smart team. I don't think he's a scared man. But I'll tell you, he's scared of me.
Yeah, 100%.
You know when you look at someone's eyes, you just know straight away. Serious. He didn't call me into the cage. I stepped in the cage myself. I didn't even see him call me. He tried to say, I told him come into the cage. He's already listening to Master or some bullshit he said. And I was like, oh, a word? Bet. I didn't even see that. I stepped into the cage because I made this shit happen. This motherfucker. I was hoping he'd fucking step up, but he's a bitch. And I'll tell you right now, keep training. Keep training. I got something for your ass. So keep training, because whoever I'm fighting next, I'll fight them. But keep training, because I got something for your ass. I know you're going to see this.
Because what age did you move to New Zealand? What age was that?
Move at 12 years old. Move to Rotorua.
So that you know, I know this would be triggering when you're obviously from Nigeria. Then you move to New Zealand at 12.
Mm.
And then you're being told by New Zealanders that you don't belong here. And then obviously with Drakus bringing up that, it's like... it triggers me, because I've had that as well, where I'm Māori, but I'm like fair skinned, so I'm not Māori enough to be with Māoris, but I'm
not white enough to be with the white.
So I'm in that.
Hello, welcome to the Half-Cast podcast.
That's what we're all about.
That's what we're about here, brother.
It'd be like that. It'd be like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was triggering, but that's good. I can use that. And I know how to use, through the work I've done with my possibility manager, I know how to use my anger without emotion. I can let it be emotional. Like when I go in the cage, I let myself come forth. I let my anger show. And I was saying it to him, I was like, what's up, nigga? I planned this shit, because guess what? You can't say it to me.
So two questions on that. I know it was already planned, but was there maybe an extra layer of littiness in there?
People thought I was drunk. I had three drinks that night. I fucking hired this Rolls Royce, because I've always had this vision of driving down the strip in a Rolls Royce and the lights. So I didn't get drunk that night because I wanted to drive. I don't even know. I think I fucking hired it for a few grand, and I just drove it from literally from the arena back to the Red Rock, and that was it.
Yeah.
But I just hired it just for that specific purpose, just so I can make that happen in my head. And I made it happen, and I made sure I didn't get drunk because I wanted to drive. So I wasn't drunk.
Yeah.
I wasn't. My voice was cracked because of fucking Dan round two. Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah. Just a man. Scratch. That motherfucker. That's why my voice was gone. But yeah. Wasn't drunk. I was just hyped. Yeah, and I was angry. I was angry. So I let him feel me. I was like, feel me. And he's all, people were like, oh, Izzy's too drunk. He's too this. He's too that. And I was like, you fucking dumb cunts. Like, I was seeing what the streets were saying. I was like, the fuck? I was like, bro. So I kind of put a video up on IG just to let people know, like, bro, shut the fuck up. Y'all don't know shit. Everything is systematic. There's a method to my madness. Whenever I make it happen, I make it happen. But there's a method to my madness. Even if it looks like there's no method, that is a method. Actual.
There you go. That meme with Tim just had me in tears. Yeah, just keep saying it. He can't say it back.
I don't even remember what Tim was saying. But I remember that's when I turned and I was just like tracking him. I was hunting him down. And I can't even remember what Tim was saying, but I like it.
It's the best.
It's a bit. Just keep saying it, bro. He can't say it back. But there's more. Trust me. There's layers to this. I've got some shit for his ass, man. But he's not taking this fight, so keep that in the arsenal.
What are the options for fighting?
Strickland is who I want. Yeah. And I think I'll get Strickland. But
is Cannon Avery in the mix? Or?
Nah.
What about this weekend?
Someone said Vittori Part 3. That's give the people what they want to see. It was a diamond. That was like, give the people what they want to see. I'm like, fuck out of here.
Nah, yeah, Shout Vittori.
You know, I like the guy. I'll give him respect because I think, who was he being interviewed by? He kind of had to like eat his own words, but he said he's the best. And I respect that. I respect the fact that even man enough, even though I was reluctant, the fact that he said that, I appreciate that. So, Shai Vittori, he's a, you know, good stock. Tough guy. Fucking tough, bro. That last fight. I've been telling people since the first time I fought him, because the first time I fought him, bro, most people would have got knocked out.
Yeah.
Because we were hitting him. I got to get back to the shit, but like, we were hitting him with some angles, bro. You watch that fight again, I'd be orthodox. He's coming forward. Then I teleport to southpaw, and he'd be over here. Kind of like what we're working on right now with the crossover a little bit, but differently. I was fading away. I'd be southpaw. I was cracking him, bro. And I remember feeling his head. I was like, bro, this motherfucker got a blockhead.
Also, Cannonier hit him with some shots, bro.
But Vittori, though, like, that last fight, Cannonier beat the fuck out of him, bro. I'm like,
he's still standing.
Bro, I think it was round three or something where I thought, nah, it's over now.
Yeah.
It's surely over now, but the motherfucker's still there. I'm just like, go down. Some people just, they can't. But I mean, he's a tough dude, but man, fucking toughness sometimes will get you too hurt. Yeah.
So what happens with that? You do that video, DDP, you're out, Strickland, you're in. It goes viral. Like, what, that must put pressure on the UFC? Like, obviously, you want the Sydney one, or they
Me and Dana talk, and me and the UFC have a good...
Me too.
Yeah.
I was just chatting to him before here, and then I was like, Dana's good.
Dana respects me, and I respect the UFC and what they do. And for me, I just had to tell him what it was, and we have an understanding. I don't want to say exactly why, but Strickland just needs to fucking just bro. Also, don't price yourself out of a fight. This is what I don't want to give him too much game, but when before I got the belt, right before I fought Gastelum, give us a contract, you know. Of course, okay. I'll give you guys game, but I don't even fucking take commission because I don't want your fucking money. Here you go, get a contract, right? Cool. You negotiate for what you feel like you're worth, but I knew I was gonna get that belt. I knew I was going to get that belt. So I wasn't banking on this is my big money fight. These motherfuckers, they're banking on this is their big money fight.
Yeah, they might not get it again. No, yeah.
They know they can't beat me.
Yeah.
That's the difference. They're hoping. They'll do their hardest and everything. But even I told the young dogs like a week ago on my birthday, I was just telling them, like, because I think we were just hanging out at my birthday, and I was just like, bro, these motherfuckers can't beat me. That's why they're banking on this is my money fight. I got to get $1 million for this fight, or I got to get $2 million for this fight. I was like, shut the fuck up. Push for what you can get right now. And if you really believe in yourself, if your team, your managers really believe in you, and you really believe you'll get the belt, take the fucking fight. And then when you get the belt, hold the line. That's free game. I won't take 20%. I don't want your money. But that's free game. But yeah, I'm just like, if you really believe in yourself, then fucking sack up. Yeah, take the fucking fight. But they don't believe in themselves. Yeah, they know they can't beat me. So they're just like, okay, let me make as much as I can on this fight because I'm not going to get this shot again. And that's why I know they can't beat me and they already lost. They showed their hands too early because Sean was already like, oh, if the money's right, bitch, shut the fuck up. If you really believe you can be champion, take the fucking fight. Mm. But they know they can't beat me. They're hoping. They'll do their work. They'll do their hardest. And everyone has a chance. I can be beat. We've all seen it. And they can beat me. But they know they can't beat me. Yeah. That's the difference. And that's why I got my foot on their neck. Forever. Forever. Yeah. That's free game. That's free game. Game is game.
He's still trying to make his move, chucking in like the hype, doing his Chinese champ and stuff. Hey?
I never even explain myself to these people. I'll show you guys this video. I've even posted this, but this is a video from yesterday because they don't understand how I live. Bro, they show me love in the streets. No, actually, they show me love. This is yesterday.
Hey, is this Rolly?
Yeah. Just some old Chinese lady who saw
just
me.
Just chatting.
Yeah, and then we start having a long chat for about 20 minutes at the Pearl Shop and talk about my time in China and what I did over there. And I know there's that fucking skit that came out, but people don't understand what acting is. It's like these motherfuckers are so dumb, they believe whatever they see on the internet. Mm. These are the same motherfuckers. Like, AI has only just come out. All the shit where, and already they used to get fooled by just random shit like this online. I'm like, bruh. Wait till AI gets like proper, like no one can believe anything. But yeah, back in China, I wish I said those in my own words, but they gave me a skit to read and I just read it. Cause I just thought, you know, this is for a fight. Yeah. And you know, like kayfabe, they call it in WWE terms, fade. See, yeah, that's what I said, kayfabe.
But you're creating a story, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because like, K1 did it as well.
These to be dumb Japanese, bottom feeders, yeah. These fucking cockroaches of the ocean just fucking believe whatever they see and they'd rather roll with it. Like, even Strickland, I smacked him in the ass before I went on that press conference backstage. I smack him in the ass and he turns around and goes, hey, whoa, man, don't do me like you did Costa. And I thought, oh, whatever. I just say, what's up? And then on stage, he starts talking shit to me. I'm like, bro, better focus on this guy because he'll knock you out. And guess what? He got knocked the fuck out. Yeah. 2 weeks ago in Vegas, he's sitting behind me because I see his name on the seat. Two rows behind me. I go over and say, what's up to Ilir Topuri because I'm a fan of his style. And then I go up to him and I'm like, hey. And he stands up and I shake his hands. I was like, behave yourself. He's like, oh, man, I'm just here to watch the fight. So I'm like, good. I'm here to watch my boys. So fucking behave yourself. Mm. And then he said some shit, some China. I was like, hey, it's in my heart. And he says something else. Like, again, they think they get to me. I'm like, bro, Eugene. I had worse.
You haven't said the hurtful shit yet.
Exactly. But then he says something, and then I was like, huh. And I kind of like, huh. And I smack him in the dick. and he goes, don't touch me. But he didn't push me. He kind of just don't touch me, bro. I just looked at him. I was like, huh. And I just hopped back to my seat. But I turned my back because I know he's a bitch.
He's not gonna do shit.
Yeah, there's certain people you don't smack him in the dick because you know you're gonna crack. So I've sexually assaulted this motherfucker twice, and he ain't do shit both times.
Neck minute sued for sexual assault.
Hey kid, we got a call from HR about Sean Strickland. Let's have a chat. We have to talk about your manners with the staff, with the co-workers.
But in saying that, energies, like I saw you like fix things with John Jones, but I was like, I don't know if I was the only one that still noticed when you were doing the sparring. It still felt like vibes were like,
yeah,
I'll still whoop your ass.
Yeah. Bro, me and John, like I said, when on the post, I was kind of like, it's between us. What happened? Mm. That whole thing was that was divine intervention. Mm. He wasn't at that hotel. I could have been at excess with the boys. I could have been in my room eating Uber Eats. I could have been gambling. Or I had a thing lined up, whatever. But still, there's four things I could have been doing. But I decided, through just following my gut feeling, ended up at the bar, boom. And the motherfucker's right there next to me. And we didn't even know about it for about 20 seconds. Like, I'm right there. I go to a bar and I don't look anyone in the eyes because I'm trying to just, like, get to A to B. And he's facing that way. I'm facing this way. And out of nowhere, I just, like, oh, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, it was like straight away, we were just cool. And what I respected is like he got up and shook everyone's hand. AB, his girl, Ike, Polly, he got up and shook everyone's hand. So I really respected that. But then, yeah, divine intervention. And we talked about everything. And we talked about the competitiveness. I don't want to get too much into details, but I even asked him, like, why'd you want to fight me? And he gave me the answer. I was like, I knew it. I was like, yeah, I knew it. But there's always that competitive. And we're like fucking dogs, bro, you know, big dogs. Sure. So it's just, it's still there. But yeah, I respect the guy, though. And what I really liked, though, was on our YouTube video that we posted, was like when I was reading the comments, it was mostly just like, man, this made me smile. I'm smiling. Mm-hmm. This is like, everyone was just like, just good feels, good vibes. Yeah. And it, for me, it made me feel like, is this what world peace will feel like? I was just like, is this what, when North Korea and America and China and all, is this what, like,
Ukraine
the world,
and that, you're just
bro, like, actual, we'll fix it now, literally, we'll fix that shit easy.
You got that.
Now, but yeah, it was just cool, man. And again, I'm just glad I can watch his highlights again.
Yeah,
for years, man, I just like, fuck this dude. But now it's cool. Like, cause I always knew he was a fan, and he always knew I was a fan, and it was cool to kind of like be mutual and just talk about things as men. Like, literally, as soon as we started, I called it a nigga moment. I was like, oh shit, what the fuck? Like, cause you think like, cause we had beef, it's like, nah, fuck you straight away. But as soon as we started, it was like, it was just like, yeah, it was cool. It's fucking cool, man.
Then,
so many things happened that trip, bro. That whole trip, because we had to debrief. I think David had to like calm down for how many days afterwards? The Vegas trip. After the Vegas trip. Fuck, because there was so many highlights, man. Stuff that I can talk about and can't talk about. Fuck, bro. It was so many highlights. It just
classic Vegas.
Hey, classic, isn't it?
What was it like? What was it like meeting Shaq?
Shaq. Oh, bro. The motherfucker's the man, bro. Honestly, bro, he's fucking dope.
Yeah,
his set is fucking.
I've seen him play as well.
Bro, he can like, DJ. I was just like, swear down. The guy could just like, and he's hyping everyone up. And his sons were there. Talked to them a little bit. But yeah, he's cool. I've met him before. I met him. He watched the Gastelum fight live, and as he's walking by, he goes, "You're my favorite fighter." Straight up, and this is me with my. But yeah, and his set was dope. He was cool. Who else was there? Aaron Gordon, Jamal. It was just cool, bro. Even homegirl, what's her name? Elizabeth. She was cool. I love tall people, man. It's different.
How was Zuckerberg?
He was another one that, like, when I left him, I was like, man, you're a cool motherfucker. Like, just a cool motherfucker. Like, because you wouldn't, I didn't know what to expect, but I only went because Alex and Ash already met him, and they're like, nah, he's solid, he's cool. Well, being in his house, seeing the way he operates his system, everything, his gym, his work-life balance, all that, similar to what I want to do when I have my own family and stuff. So I took inspiration from it already, because I was just like, this is the same plan I have for myself when I have kids. And yeah, the guy is just cool. Oh, bro, and the Lake Tahoe is beautiful. Fucking beautiful. Like, shit. So after training, we'll just go jump in the lake. Shit's so clear. And then when you go deeper, it's just like this turquoise blue.
Where's Lake Tahoe?
It's in California. Yeah, it's in California. Yeah. But also coming off the fucking jet, as soon as you from Vegas to Lake Tahoe, come off the jet. Like, when we go to Vegas, out the airport, it's just heat, boom, and you just smell this. Vegas. You can smell that. But coming off, when you get to Tahoe, I kept on taking deep breaths because it was just like crisp, crisp air.
Fuck, I always have the same problem getting off the jet. It just when it.
No, but like, I sort of, because like, it just like, there's so many trees, bro.
And bro, I feel, I know.
Just crisp, bro, honestly. And I kept on taking deep breaths, man. And I was hoping to see a black bear, but fortunately, we didn't see one. This trip, but fuck, it was I just love the air over there, and just the difference of so much stimulus from Vegas to getting to Lake Tahoe and just serenity and peace.
What's your thoughts on the Zuckerberg Musk thing?
Make it happen.
Unpopular opinion, I don't want to see it on the fight card.
Yeah.
I'll
tell you one thing. My ego, because even when they were talking about doing it at the Colosseum, I was like, man, you know, I was like, have I said this? Okay, I've said this out loud to myself, but my ego at first was kind of like, nah, I can't fucking co-headline to Zuck and Musk.
That's what I mean.
but watch this. When I got back home, clarity kicked and I was like, shut the fuck up. This will be the most watched fight in history. Who gives a fuck? I'll be the opening fucking fight for that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, then I'd remove my ego from it. I was like, shut the fuck up. Like, you don't have to be the main event. That's where my ego came into play. But I had to check myself and be like, this is the biggest fight card in history if it happens or when it happens. The whole world's going to watch this fucking fight. Fucking be the fucking first card, first fight, whatever. It doesn't matter. Just be on that card. So,
I know what you're saying, but I'm like, I don't know.
Me too.
Like, I know what you're saying with ego, bro, but if I'm going to see someone in the Colosseum, we're supposed to be in the like the best fight company in the world with the best fighters. Yeah. It should be the best fighter in the world fighting in the top number one. I agree. Where do we stop? Next is Ray J and Kim Kardashian.
I agree. But again, when I had to remove myself and check myself, be like, nah, this is bigger than fighting. The eyes it'll bring to the sport, to my brand, to what we're doing. Even right now, them training and this whole fight, they've brought already a lot of eyes to MMA, you know, to the UFC. That it's just like, fuck, it's gonna happen on your own. I'll leave it at that.
Well, we'll finish off, brother, with if you don't mind, for tomorrow's fight night, a little quick picks.
Ooh, let's go.
I know you've already did a breakdown.
Wait, how long has it been?
An hour?
For real?
Yeah.
Fuck. Time flies.
Yeah, there you go. No, you've already done a bit of a breakdown. You might want to check out. He's also got a small channel, Freestyle Bender.
We're outside.
Go check it out. Like, if you want to come
like
from
and subscribe,
here,
please. We need the subscribers.
Go check it out if you want. Congratulations, actually, as well. Yeah. Million subscribers. Yeah. I think it's 1.3 now.
Appreciate it.
I think, what are we, 1,300,000?
And as a new host, you know.
I'm bringing all that traffic.
Yeah, exactly. That numbers. It's coming through. File them in. Chuck them in, boys.
We'll do quick picks. First, Poirier and Gaethje.
Bro, so I was trying to say, like, man, I want to see patient Poirier and disciplined Gaethje. Just take their time, and then when it's time to be a dog, it'll just happen naturally. When there's a time in a fight where it's like, okay, like what we're working on right now, you know, it's like, let's fucking sack up, go then. My last fight, I literally told you, I'm gonna stress you out this fight, bro, because I wanna be in a fight, I wanna be in the fire. But this motherfucker says it's gonna be a car crash for the ages. I love Gaethje, man, because again, someone's gotta do it, and my body is ready. My body is ready for this. I'm ready to watch this shit. Trust me, I am ready. But I'm gonna call me a pugilist. I just love it when, like, my favorite Gaethje fight is the one in the Apex, Tony Ferguson. His bro was cracking, bro. And he was so disciplined. And at one point, he sits down in the corner and goes, he's like looking at Trevor Whitman. He's like a happy dog. He's like, yeah.
This is fun.
Like, he's just like, yeah. I'm like, fuck yeah. I love that shit. I love, you know, when Dustin's disciplined as well, takes his time with things. And then there'll be like round fucking 3, 4, or 5 where they have to like sack up and nut up. And then that's where the power of will comes into play. But motherfucker wants to go full kamikaze and just like, yeah. But again, I'm here for it. I'm going to be right there screaming. I'm going to hold my fucking waifu pillow. I'm ready. I'm ready for that one. But if I'm going to put money on this fight, I'll put it on Dustin. Gaethje's hard to finish. Even though he finished him already, I still think if he finishes him, it'll be late. But I don't know. It might just be 5 rounds of just chaos. But again, my body is fucking ready. I'm ready for this shit. I even thinking about it now, I'm just like, fuck. Oh, let's go.
Also, I forgot that it's in Salt Lake City, so that might throw off.
There we go.
Yeah.
So we forgot about this when we were doing the breakdown, and then I saw something about it, and I was talking to him about it, and I was like, ah, that's right. Because the last one in Salt Lake is when everybody was there.
Yeah.
Everybody. Yeah. Even in fucking Tahoe, it's elevation. Yeah. So when we're rolling with some of the other boys, I think maybe like around the third, fourth round, I was like, I can feel my lungs like, but me and Frank just pushed through. We're just dogs, you know, it's whatever. But still, it just, you can feel it like, ooh.
Well, I was on that last Utah card and I felt it. I was like, the first round, I was like, fuck, get this over quick. We're doing pads.
Isn't it weird? Did I train? Sometimes it's like in the back where you're hitting pads, you're like, why are my arms and some of my best fights I've ever had, it'd be like that.
Yeah.
But then in the back, I'm just like, are my arms okay? Like, why is it? It's like, is where...
And then you start saying, fuck, I shouldn't have came here so early.
Yeah, nah, but this is where this happens. This, the positive, what do you call it? Positive self-talk. This is where you know how to like top down. Like Dave Wood teaches us, top down. Learn how to like control this with this. And then you're able to just like handle these things. But fuck. I mean, Denver, I fought in Denver kickboxing. And I think I was fine, one.
Because that's where Gaethje's training, right? And that's above Salt Lake.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think that would play a factor in this because the homeboy Dustin's in Miami, like sea level. So who knows? Maybe he went early. He went early a few weeks, so maybe that helps. But it's different when you're in that shit, bro, constantly. Yeah. Have you can't wait.
Gaethje and Poirier.
Yeah.
I like both guys' styles. I love how they just... hunt calf kicks and
so fucking good.
It's a tough one. I don't know. I feel like Gaethje can catch Poirier, but I don't know if that first round blitz is going to be enough.
I'm like, and that's when
Poirier gets better as the fight progresses.
I want him to take his time because Poirier's got good gas, bro. I know his recovery because when Dan had him on the fucking fence, bro, just the hooks, boom, 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 boom. I thought it was over, and then he comes back and recovers well.
Yeah,
he recovers well.
When we first linked up with Dave, he was saying some UFC fighters are already using this protocol, and Dustin was one of the guys he brought
one of
up.
The best ones.
Yeah.
So the way he's recovering is different. So I respect that.
Yeah.
But fuck, either way, my body is fucking ready. We haven't talked about the co-main yet.
Yeah.
I'm fucking ready for that, too. I'm just
like, here we go. John and Pereira.
You fought both guys.
I'm going to go Pereira knockout. But if not, I think Jan would just take him down and beat him up for three rounds. And then, just do that. But if Jan don't want to stand with him. Yeah. I like Jan too. I like his style.
Who hits harder?
Pereira. I've tested. Yeah, I've tested both.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've hurt Jan. Yeah. I've knocked out and hurt Pereira. But I've tested both. I've been chinned by both of them. And Pereira, it's because he sits. Jan hits and moves. Yeah, but when he sits, bro, you know what's cool? I watched his on Instagram. I saw a few months ago his sister had an MMA fight.
Oh, yeah, beat the shit out of that
bro,
guy.
Bro, but they have the same body mechanics. The hooks, the way she was throwing the hook, I was like, I've seen that before.
Yeah.
You can literally motion capture her, and that's Pereira.
Yeah.
Like, literally, same hook, same leg kicks. Excuse me. But, yeah.
And it's like that long, looks like skeletal when he throws.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, bro, I'm glad I fought that guy. Bro, these motherfuckers should kiss my feet. The remaining middleweights, bro. Fuck them. They should all kiss my feet. If not for me, they'd have to fight this guy.
Over and over.
And then they'll get fucked up by him. Yeah. They should fuck all of you middleweights. Bow down.
Fuck you for sending him up there.
Hey, no, hey, I softened him up for you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Nah, honestly, man, these middleweights don't thank me enough. They don't thank me enough because trust me, they're like, he's a hard fight to get ready for. I'm a hard fight to get ready for, but he's a hard fight to get ready for because you just know what you're up against. And then even just the way he looks, I love the fact he looks the way he looks. He looks like the proper villain. I'm the one who fucking put that fucking Stonehenge emoji. I'm the one that made that shit. I was just like, he looks like Stonehenge. The motherfucker looks like he just buried his body in the sand and he'll just...
Do you think the size will make a difference going up to
I saw a picture side by side of him at middleweight and him at light heavy. And then the light heavyweight one, he was smiling. I was like, man, it's chopping life. He's eating. But size, I don't know. He might be more dangerous there. He might be more dangerous at light heavyweight. Who knows? This is why we got to find
out. Take a shot better, maybe.
Who knows? But I mean, he's always been able to take shots because he fought in glory for ages. Yeah. I put that thing on him. That's why. But, but still, I mean, fuck, I don't know, man. I don't know. This is why we have to watch fighting. This is why we have to watch the fight to see. But it's exciting. It's exciting. Who else do we have? They have...
Thompson. No, Thompson's out.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Wonderboy.
Yeah, this morning. Missed weight. Yeah.
Wait. Oh, Michael Pereira. Oh, my God.
His younger brother.
Oh, yeah. I was like, wait, what? We were just talking about this fight. Okay, Michael Pereira mixed weight. Oh, true.
Yeah.
Interest. Oh, no. So something else. No. Oh, yeah. Late replacement. Wait, how much did you miss weight by?
Three or four pounds.
Yeah.
Damn.
But yeah. Thompson was just like, I saw the message that he just put up. He was like, I'm risking my thing now. I'm coming to the end of the career. I don't want to beat people.
He's older. He's older. Yeah. I think he's 40.
Yeah.
Yeah, nah, fuck that. Yeah. He made the right call.
Yeah.
And also, like, look, if it was me that did that, people would go, oh, what a pussy,
Yeah.
But I'm glad it's not. Like, they're not saying that about him because, nah, you have to look after your health. Fuck everyone else. Fuck, these people don't give a fuck about you.
Yeah, yeah. The money that you go on the decision, that's what he mentioned. It was like, if I go to a bad decision, happened with him with Till.
Yeah.
Losing money, losing, going for the
exactly.
belt.
Exactly. Yeah, nah, smart move. Smart move. So respect. But fuck, I didn't realize that.
Ferguson versus Green.
Oh, I love that.
I've gone the wrong way. I should have built it up to the...
That's no, man. I don't know, but, nah, I like this fight, though. And I still have Green winning. I had it by decision, but... Fuck, I'm gonna stick to that because Tony's still Tony, bro. Even though he's not the same Tony of old when he was on that 12-5 win streak, still Tony Ferguson. He's still got them blades and shades. He's still fucking weird. He's still about that life.
Still on that Swiss ball.
Yeah. No, I hope he comes through, bro. I love Ferguson, but you know, AGE, bro.
But I like Green, though. I think Green's just going to pick him apart.
He's slicker. His boxing.
Slick. Yeah, so slick on the feet.
I love when he feels wrestle. Himself and he starts to get in that flow state.
What's up? What's up? He starts talking shit. Is that? Oh, it's just cool. I like it, man. What a time to be alive. Fuck, honestly, I'm one thing I really love, and that I told this is... I told Dana this. This is why, like, it's not about money for me. Like, I'm set, but it's not about that for me. When I watched Robbie Lawler, because I was right there, I watched him step on the stairs, and then he looked back, and he just like had his hand on his waist. He looked back. Even though I'm getting chills thinking about it again. He just looked back, and he's just like, and you see him just soak it in. And I remember getting chills then. I got chills now. I'm just like, fuck. It's look, like it's. Fucking, he just knew. He's like, this is it. This is the last time I'm going to do this shit. Fuck, why am I even getting emotional talking about this? And I look at my fucking...
Yeah,
nah,
bro.
Nah, but it's like, because even when we were camping at the gym, when the government allowed us, there was one time before sparring on a Saturday morning, I remember watching everyone just like gearing up because you know how you just doing it, like everyone stay upstairs and then you go down to the gym when it's your time to spar and then he made it like a fight and then we were all doing our raps and stuff and I remember just like, this is some fucking cool shit, bro. Yeah. Like, look at us. We're just fucking getting ready to go fucking train to be fighters. This is fucking cool. I remember just locked this. It was an image I have in my head. This is downstairs in the blue mats room. And I remember just like watching everyone just like fucking soak this shit up, bro. Soak this shit up because this is not forever. Mm. And seeing Robbie step on those stairs and look around and just like soak that in. That moment is locked in. That's a moment for life for me because I know I'm definitely past my halfway point in my career. And I know... I can't do this shit forever as much as I probably don't even want to do this shit forever. I want to, you know, be a family man and all that. Businessman, maybe go Hollywood, video games, all that shit.
Look at this. I literally wrote to him. I was like, bro, because I didn't want to talk about end of career.
Yeah.
But I was like, what's it going to look like after? And now you brought that up. I was like, is it going to be there. Businessman, family? Like,
everything. My thing is I'm going to just dedicate my life to my kids. Like I've seen the difference. Like you do it quite well as well because you get to travel with Kobe. Seeing you, him, Sade in Tahiti, and seeing those snippets, him and the cat, he and Henry.
Yeah.
Seeing him with the stingrays. That's what I want to do. Like I don't want to let the government raise my kids. I'm gonna hire a tutor from 8 to midday to teach them every day, and then the rest of the day. What do you want to do today? Okay, let's go to the park. Oh, let's go to the museum. I'll take them places. We'll go traveling. Like, I want to show them the world. I want to show them the pyramids. You know, I want to show them everything in real life. You know, I know the system. We all know what let's not kid ourselves. We know what the system's built for. It's built to make workers and just turn them on. And we still have this fucking system, antiquated system we're still running on. It's not for me and my family. So I want to really just dedicate my life to my kids. But... before that, she'll come around. She'll come around. I can't have a kid by myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, they'll come around. But still, what I want to do after this is just dedicate my life to my family. I'm going to do some Hollywood shit. They're already trying to like peg me already. Oh, fuck, that's bad. When I say peg, shut the fuck up.
Pause. Play. Hollywood got you that quick? Before you even got that?
Fuck, I mean, say the gay shit sometimes, bro. But like, you know, they already like, there's a few people that already like shotgun, like, When he's ready, we got him. He has to sign with us. They're trying to, you know, bags me or whatever. But
bags.
Shut the fuck up, man. Bags. We say bags. Come on. Yeah. Hey, hey, bags. I'm come on. That's Kiwi slang, isn't it?
Tea bags.
Yeah.
actually, but your movie is coming out. Yeah. The premiere this?
Premiere is going to be August 24th. Man. Breaking news. But we're going to watch it first. We're going to watch it first. As a team. Mad. You know, because this is our movie. This is a thing about us, about what we do. And yeah, it's cool, man. I can't wait to the world sees it. You know, I can't wait till the world sees it. It's different. It's different from your regular sports documentary. And it's the most raw I've been on camera. Even Eugene, the most raw he's been on camera. You'll see different sides of Eugene, you know.
Did you at least get yelled at a few times in that? I hope so.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, cool. Oh no, definitely. Right. Definitely. Oh, many times. Get the raw. Yeah, the raw. You see that? But I'm saying raw. He's everything. So, but it's good. And it shows a different side. I even think, even if it's not about me, if I'm not the protagonist in this, I'd recommend everyone watch this movie, because like, it just, especially men, I'm not being sexist, but especially men, like, again, men just react too much, and they roll off the emotions without actually responding to it. So yeah, I saw
a lot of things that it wasn't just about fighting. What would you say the main premise is?
Living, just human living, especially living in the spotlight. Living in the spotlight, because some things happen in the movie that you think is scripted, but it wasn't. Well, I can't say what it was, but like, You know how it is when I said that feeding seagulls, all that kind of stuff. Literally, that's why I had to move out from out west, because, bro, people just come to my house and just
outrageous.
Oh no way! I'm like, what the fuck? What are you doing? Like,
what did you think was gonna happen when you knocked?
Yeah, I'm like, bro, and then I don't reward it. That's why I had to move, because I can't have people access my front door just like that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's stopping them, and that's like, nah. This is, I come here to fucking chill. This is my house. I don't want to fucking take a photo. Mm. Like, you want to knock on my door so you can fucking take a photo. Like, for me personally, that's boundaries. And I don't give a fuck. Oh, you got to respect your fan. Shut the fuck up. No.
Yeah.
Respect me.
Yeah.
It's my fault. So my front door. Now, if you're at my front door, you have to be there.
Mm.
Put it that way.
Yeah.
So yeah, some things in the movie kind of highlight that. And it even highlights New Zealand, to be honest. Like the landscape, the culture, what we do. And just my life in general. But yeah, I was nervous though. I won't lie. I was nervous when I was going to the premiere a little bit. Shed a few tears just to let it out. And I felt good, so I couldn't cry on the fucking carpet. But then I watched the movie and I was just like, it was well received. And I was like, okay, cool. It's out there now. So,
man, can't wait to see it, brother.
Yeah, can't wait as well. It's going to be awesome.
Likewise.
Again, thank you very much for coming
Shot
on, man.
For having me on the Half Podcast. Yeah.
The Half a Podcast. Actually, we might just roll that. Cross out the cast. Half a Podcast.
Half, no, just Half Podcast. Half That's podcast. It. Half All Podcast. Right. That's it.
We're going to try and do gifts. You know, my thing's knives. So
no way.
Custom made.
Oh, brother.
He's from Australia, called DB Blades.
Fucking Eugene, come see me now, Eugene. I'll see you at training. I'm taking this to the gym every day. I'll just stand next to him and be like, wait.
It's very sharp, so be careful, please.
Oh, wow, this thing's sharp. Like, let me just not cut myself. Walking around the gym like this.
Thank you very much, brother. Things. Appreciate it.
Thank you guys. Appreciate you.
Show for your time, bro. Thank you.
Cheers, brother. I'm in.
Ah, we out?
Yeah. Oh, man, thank you.